Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all today. This is part one of a message series called It Is Written, so we're going to get into those notes in just a minute, but before we do, let me go over a couple of things with you. We have a weekend service schedule change for Easter Sunday. We are going to do, as of right now, we're planning on four services. I will tell you that after the last two weekends, I'm considering, and our team is considering, that this may not be enough because we've been in overflow for this service and the previous service as well for the last couple weekends, so we may not have enough room, but as of right now, we're doing 7:30, 9, 10:30, and noon, and we'll be doing water baptism in all of those services. It's going to be an awesome weekend, so we'll do a lead-in and help you invite your friends and family and so on and so forth. As Jeremiah let us know, tonight is step one of our growth steps, and we're going to talk about how you can become a partner and who we are as a church and some of those things. So if you haven't registered yet, I would really encourage you to register by going to Connect Central, going to our website, or you can text the word growth to 740-313-1122. And you can connect with us that way as well. Lastly, this Wednesday is our first Wednesday of the month, and we start all of our months with prayer on the first Wednesday. So from 7 to 8, we start right on time, and we get done real on time almost every time. And so we want to invite you to come with us and pray. A great way to start your midweek. One last thing. Would you help me welcome all of the folks who have logged on and are watching online? Would you say hello, everybody, to your church family online? Thank you. Thank you guys for watching and spending part of your morning with us. Thank you all for being here as well. While we're talking about our online community and our friends in the virtual campuses, I got an email this week that I want to read to you that came from someone who views online, and they said, thank you for all the work you guys do there to put the messages on your website. I really appreciate that since I cannot physically be there every Sunday. God has been taking me through some intense times recently, and your podcasts have really helped me through the tough times. The online messages give me a chance to be incredibly blessed by God's word. I also wanted to say thank you because I think back often to how the very first Sunday I attended MLC, you dared us to give God 10 minutes a day. I'm always up for a good challenge, and so I said, okay, what do I have to lose? And I've been doing 10 minutes a day ever since. I still read the Bible and journal my thoughts. And they finished by saying this, I cannot thank you enough for wrecking my life. And I think they're using wrecking in a positive sense. So that's what you all are doing, and that's what we're doing together, and I think we should celebrate that together about how God is working in people's lives. It's pretty awesome. I'm getting into a message series today called It Is Written. It's just kind of a mini series. I'm going to do this week and next week, and then I'm going to do a lead-in for the Easter season, for Palm Sunday, for Easter Sunday, and then beyond. I really want to talk to you this week and next about the importance of God's Word in your life, and what I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do is to create a love for God's Word inside of you that's just over the top, just like increase that love. I know many of you love God's Word. I know many of you are going to know the principles that I share with you. They're going to be great refreshers for some of you. For some of you, it's going to be the first time you ever hear some of these things. And so I hope that you start to love God's Word, that you learn from it at a deeper level, and that you learn to live it at the next level. And that's really the purpose for this series. We started the year off by 21 days of prayer. The interesting thing is, and I love prayer, and I want you to pray, and the reason we did that is because when we started this church 13 and a half years ago, my goal was to invite anyone who would connect with us to go on a spiritual journey with us. And prayer is an incredible way to take a spiritual journey and to go on your spiritual journey and to grow spiritually. But here's an interesting point. Without loving and knowing God's word, we don't know how to pray like we should. So we don't even know how to pray and start that journey with God, except we understand that part of our spiritual walk from the word. And so the next 2 weeks, I'm just going to tell you how important it is to have God's word in your life. And so if you're taking notes, here we go. You can look to your notes. And I'm going to tell you in advance, I got a little bit carried away this week. And after I sent the notes to the team, I just kept on thinking and creating. And so there are notes that aren't in your notes, so you'll have to keep up with me or try to keep up with me. And I didn't forget it. I just turned it in and kept adding to it. So if you're taking notes, here we go. If you're not taking notes, then take notes with me anyway, and we'll go on together, all right? So John chapter 1, here's what it says. In the beginning, from the very start, this was there, was the Word, and the Word was with God. Watch this, and underline it in your notes. And the Word was God. And this is an important thing because we begin to see right off the bat that this Word, this written Word, is alive. It's living. It's active. And you'll see that in a minute. But notice that the Bible tells us that the Word was God, and it was there from the beginning. Jesus is this expression of the Word to us in John chapter 1. It says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So right off the bat, we see this is a living, interactive thing, not just dead words on a page. And so look at one more verse. I'm going to go through several verses and we'll get into some thoughts, okay? Jesus says this in John chapter 6, verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Circle that word spirit. And write this Greek word just to really impress yourself later. Write the word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. It is the word, the Greek word defined breath. So literally this verse says, the words I have spoken to you, they are breath and they are life. Now that doesn't exactly make a whole lot of sense, except for you say it this way. The words I have spoken to you, they are God-breathed. And they are life. Like God breathes on his word and makes it alive for us. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 4, speaking of the word. It says this, for the word of God is, say these blue words with me, the word of God is living and active. How many of you, let's be interactive for just a second. How many of you have raised toddlers or are raising toddlers currently? Can I see your hands? You ever had toddler babies in your house? All right. How many of you would agree with me, and you would have the same experience that I have, that toddlers are fairly active? How many of you would say that toddlers are living? They are alive. Like they are the pure definition of living beings, right? Like their energy is almost supernatural at times. We watched our nieces, some of our nieces and nephews, and the twins just turned three, and I was reminded how true it is that having babies is for young people. Somebody that's older, say amen to that. Yeah. They're everywhere all at the same time. And it's like they're, and this is the same kind of language that God is using to describe his word is it's alive and it's active. It is not stagnant. It is not, does not succumb to inertia. It is not passive and quiet when the right things are added to it. So watch, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Watch this. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I love what the writer of the email said there. They said, the messages in the word of God just wrecks my life. That's really what this verse is saying in 21st century language. The word of God, it will wreck your thoughts and it'll wreck your attitudes. It'll just change you. How many of you know someone that could use an attitude adjustment? Let me see your hands. If you just know at least one person. Wouldn't it be a wonderful place if you never ran into anybody who ever needed an attitude adjustment? Like they just always had a great attitude and were just always up. Looking, this is what the word actively does in our life. It wrecks us. It changes us. It persuades us to think and behave in certain ways because of the living power that's contained in it. That's what makes this book different from every other book that's ever been written, is that it is alive, it's active, it's breathing, it's changing, it has transformational power in our life. It adjusts our thoughts and our attitudes. Listen, I gotta tell you, sometimes this book, it wrecks my life. Because I've got an idea in my head, and then I read something in here, it's like, that's not how I thought it was. And it wrecks me from time to time. And that's its job. It's corrective in nature, and it's instructional, it's inspirational. It is above everything alive. So the question is, how do we change this from being a nice accessory on our coffee table when special guests come to being this living, active, breathing thing that God said it could be and it should be. The first part of this message, I'm going to give you 3 points that are theological. Now, don't get confused by and equate theological with boring. We won't make it boring, okay? So don't disconnect, but there's some structure to it. And on the back end, I'm going to put some practicality to it. And so how do we make this come alive for us? The first point I would say to you is this, that it takes faith to activate the Word of God. Faith is what makes the Bible come alive. Faith is the difference maker. The Hebrew writer says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Look at this verse that shows you this in very explicit terms. For we also have had the gospel preached to us. So we heard just as they did, but watch this. But the message they heard was of what? No value. It didn't make any difference in their life. Why did it not make any difference? Because those who heard it did not combine it or mix it with faith. See, the word all by itself will produce nothing. It takes faith, it takes belief in what God has said to cause these words to come alive for you and to you. That's why some of you will leave this service today and you'll be like, I didn't get nothing out of it. It didn't work for me because there was no faith attached to it. But there'll be somebody else, many of you in this room today, that you'll be like, that's the best thing I've ever heard because faith erupted in your heart. It activated God's word. It made it come alive to you and started producing fruit in your life that would remain. So faith in our hearts is what activates the word. In other words, in order for the Bible to come alive, you got to have faith. We'll talk about that here in just a second. The second thought is this. Revelation, in your notes, revelation activates faith. So you're like, I don't have faith. It's not there yet. It's not active. How do I get it? Revelation. So I'm like, well, that doesn't help me. Okay, well, I'm going to help you. So revelation is, let me just give you the two Greek words. This is the theological part. Just stay with me. It's not in your notes. In the Bible, the word has two different Greek words used to tell us about the word, okay? That's confusing, I know. So I'll spell it out for you. So there's one word, logos, which is a Greek word, which means the written word, the book that's written down like this, okay? Then there is another Greek word for the word, rhema, which means the revealed word. And when I say revelation is what activates faith, it is that aha moment, this rhema moment, this revealed moment that causes faith to erupt in your heart. Let me tell you a story about it from scripture. Many of you have known this. It's the Christmas story when the angel comes and tells Mary that she's going to be with child, but she hasn't been with a man. And watch Mary's response. How can this be? Look, listen to me. Let me see your eyeballs. No faith yet in this statement. No faith. How's this going to be? How's this going to work? There's no faith that's activating. And there's no aha moment. Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin, how's this going to be? See, she's explaining the physiology of it to the angel. She's saying, you've got to have ha-ha before you can have a baby come. And I haven't had ha-ha, so how's this going to work? Right? No faith yet. But watch this. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Watch. For no word, no rhema, nothing revealed from God will ever fail. Let me just say this over your life. Whenever you have an aha, God revealed this to me moment, God's word will never, ever, under any circumstance, fail in that situation when you've got that aha moment. Oh, you didn't get excited enough about that because, listen, when God says something, he means it. And oftentimes, he's just waiting for us to get the clarity and the aha of, oh, wow, now I get it. So now that's possible. See, it isn't until you see an aha moment of God's going to really take care of me in every situation. It's not until you have that aha moment that I'm going to train up my child and they're not going to depart from the way I train them. They're going to go the way God wants them to go. Because watch, when you have that aha and that revelation and that faith grows inside of you, that child doesn't know it, but that faith inside of you, that aha moment is steering that child back to the plan of God for their life, because God's power is greater than any level of disobedience a person would ever walk in. Right? So we have that going on. And she says, so he says, no rhema, no aha, no revealed word from God will ever fail. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. May your revealed word be fulfilled. Then the angel left. The aha came. The angel did his job. She's gone. Because faith activates this word in our life. Revelation is what stirs up our faith. So then you're like, well, okay, Josh, I get it. Revelation's important. Faith is important. But how do I get revelation? I'm glad you asked. Because meditation activates revelation. And don't be like someone that came up to me after the first service and they said, I thought you said medication. That's a different kind of thing going on there, okay? Meditation activates revelation. You want to have that aha moment? I know you all want to get to a place where, man, this written word is alive and it's producing results in my life. Meditation is what causes that to come to pass. Look at this verse. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, the Hebrew language is very visual, very much written in picture form. So instead of at times writing just a word, like this word meditate, the Hebrew writer would write an entire picture story to describe that one word. The word meditate literally means to mutter or to say over and over and over again. It has the connotation of rumination. Now, I know we're in rural America, so let me just give you a visual picture of what rumination looks like, what meditation looks like, what this Hebrew word is like, all right? This word, if I can draw a picture for you with my words, would be, think about a cow chewing its cud. And it chews it over and over and over again. And after it chews it for a while, it starts to swallow it, and then it brings it back up, and it chews it again. And it swallows it, and it brings it back up, and it chews it again. And it swallows it, and it doesn't go down, it brings it back up, and it chews it again. Does anybody else like it just like, ah, okay? This is that word. And so the picture is, we read it, we don't get it. And often in our frustration, because we don't understand, we don't get it, we put it down. But this scripture is saying, in order for that aha moment to come, you need to read it over and over and over again. You don't get it, so you read it again. You read it out loud, and then you read it again. And it doesn't go down that easy, and so it kind of starts coming back up, and your mind gets involved. You're like, okay, I need to read it again. And so you keep on meditating on it. Watch, you meditated on it when? Day and night, over and over and over again, and here's what it produces. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Not just because you've read it once, but because you've meditated on it. You've worked on it. See, can I just tell you something? We as people have grown kind of lazy in a supersonic speed world where everything's at the touch of a finger and ready access however you want it, when you want it. Can I just tell you that you can't transfer the principles that the culture is giving you over into God's world? It won't work. You won't get results that way. Like at the touch of a button, right now I could go to several different apps and I could spend money while I'm talking to you. I could buy a book. I could buy stuff on an app. I could do all that stuff. I could have access to it right here at the touch of a finger. And what happens is the thoughts and the attitudes that Paul talked about earlier that build in us from a way of life begin to transfer over into spiritual things. And I just need to let you know that that's not how it works in God's world. God does not change just because culture changes. Okay, thank you for your enthusiasm. Let me go on to another verse, okay? I know when you do that, I'm ready to be done, okay? So here we go. I'm just kidding. I know you're with me. These words, Jesus said, I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. So can I just say, let's not treat them that way. They're not just homeowner improvements to your standard of living. Watch. He says they are foundational words, words to build a life on. So like if I could title this message, I would title it A Life Built on God's Word. See, look, because if you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. If you keep reading this, you'll see that the storms come and the floods came, and the people who weren't affected by the storms are the ones who built their life on this rock, which is a picture of the word. Listen, storms are going to come in your life. And when you do not have a proper foundation on God's word, that's when everything falls apart. And so what I want you to see is, we need to work this in to our life. So how do we do that? That's a good question. Number one, we do it in your notes by we accept its authority. We accept the authority of God's word. Because we know the storms come. Accepting its authority means this. We say and accept it's not just a good book with good ideas written about a good man. It is, I believe, and this church believes, it is the inerrant, infallible, perfect word of the living God, and I choose to accept its authority in my life. That's when it begins to work. See, if you don't get to this step, you're like, I'm not sure if I really, listen, until you accept its authority, it will never begin to produce the results that God intended in your life. And somebody's like, I just don't understand parts of it. I get that. Listen, I get that. Every day I read something that I don't understand, but it does not prevent me from accepting its authority. Well, why doesn't it, Josh? Well, because there's a lot I don't understand. And if I have to understand everything God said before I believe God, then that in my mind is an attitude that says, until I am God, then I won't accept what God says. And if you were God, you wouldn't need what God said. Right? Okay, let me break it down a little easier. So I didn't pay attention in biology and anatomy very well when I was in school. I wish I would have paid more attention because I think it's actually pretty useful. But I didn't pay attention. So I don't know how the digestive system works. I really don't know how it works. That doesn't keep me from eating. Even though I don't know how it works, I still eat. And when my digestive system works, I'm thankful that it works. And when it stops working, I want it to start working again, right? And so many people are like, well, until I understand, no. Sometimes you just have to go without understanding. That's why faith is a part of the equation. One of my mentors said this, I never could understand how a brown cow could eat green grass. And when you milk it, it gives white milk. And if you churn it, it gives yellow butter. But all the time, I'm eating the butter and I'm drinking the milk. So you don't have to understand how everything works in order to accept it as truth in your life. Look at this verse. We also thank God, it talks about this. We also thank God continually because when you received the word, this received is the Greek word dekomai. And it means to welcome or receive as a stranger. And oftentimes, that's what we have to do with the word, receive it as a stranger, because there's parts of it we're not getting. See, we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of a man or word of men, but actually as it is the word of God, watch, which is at work in you who what? Who believe. Can you talk back to me? It's when you believe that it starts working. And so the first step in this practical part is accept its authority. The next one in your notes is, to get this life built on the word, we need to assimilate, a fancy word for work into our lives. We need to assimilate its truths. Now, this is where I went crazy on notes, okay? So stay with me. I geeked out. assimilate its truth, and we do this first by listening to God's word. By listening to God's word. So then faith comes by how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got to be in a place where we're hearing what God says. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because y'all are here. And I know y'all watching online, you make it a priority. But that's why it's so important. I believe so much in the power of a local church that preaches the word, because it's a regular opportunity for you to come to a household of faith and hear the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Now, I know you can get that a whole bunch of different ways, but it needs to become a part of your life. It's like the one individual I talked to after one of the services a few weeks ago. They're like, man, I'm sure glad I came to church today. And I said, you mean it was an option that you weren't going to come? And they said, yeah. And I said, you mean God's not on your priority list every single time? Like, I don't want to put my convictions on you, but I see Jesus, it was his custom to go to the house of God every single week. And since I want to be like Jesus, I'm going to build that value into my life, and I'm going to make it a priority to be in God's house. I mean, like, here's how radical I am. My mama died on a Thursday, and I preached on Sunday. Like, I believe in being in God's house. Somebody says, well, yeah, you kind of get paid to be here. I get that, but there was a long time where I wasn't paid to be anywhere, and that's what I chose to do. When we had, somebody says, well, you don't understand, Josh, I'm going to get on some people's toes right now, it'll be fun for me, but it'll not be fun for you. So like, you don't understand the chaos of babies. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I had 4 children in 35 and a half months. We had 4 kids in diapers. We know the chaos of raising children, and we blitzed through that chaos and said, no matter what, we have a priority on bringing people, our kids, ourselves into God's house to hear God's word. That's something that culture is trying to pull us away from, and we've got to come back to.
Amen. That's good.
Thank you for the 3 amens. Thank you very much. Thank you for the 2 guys on staff that clapped too. That was awesome. I'm preaching so good, my clothes are sticking to me, y'all. I'm getting rid of the jacket. Y'all okay with that? All right, okay, come on. Jesus says this, therefore consider carefully how you listen. So listening to the word. The second thing is by reading it. By reading God's word. By reading the word. Jesus answered, said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Here's where I gave you some extra notes that aren't in your handout. Here's something I think will help you. If you don't have one and you can't afford one, you see somebody with a badge on and we will buy you a Bible, okay? We will buy you one. We will, if you cannot get one, but I want you to get a physical Bible. I'm cool with the e-pad, iPad, all that stuff. I use that. But can I just tell you, there's nothing like getting your hands on the book and touching the silky smooth pages and turning them for yourself. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't even know what that's like. I've never done that before. I just get one. I read some studies this week that said it doesn't matter what kind of book it is, that surveys and research is showing that you have a greater level of retention and understanding when you're actually holding a physical book and turning the pages. I happen to believe that. You know, I think it supports something that I had an opinion about, and it's very interesting. So get a paper one. Get a physical Bible. Set aside time. Like make time. 10 minutes. You can do this in 10 minutes. Have a plan. Have a plan. Like have a plan. For instance, this isn't in your notes either. Maybe it should have been. In the 4 Gospels, there are 89 chapters in all 4 Gospels. 89 chapters total in all 4 Gospels. You could read through the entire Gospels in 1 month by just reading 3 chapters a day. That's a plan. Just like start with a plan. The Psalms, there's 150 Psalms. If you read 5 of those a day, you can get through that in 30 days. And some of the Psalms are pretty short, you know, like 7-10 minutes at the most. Mama made me have a plan. I didn't have my own plan, so Mama gave me a plan. She said, you're going to read a chapter in the book of Proverbs every single day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. You can get through the entire book of Proverbs in 30 days if you just read 1 chapter a month. I mean, get you a plan. Get you a paper Bible. Like this Bible was given to me. I don't know what was going on my senior year in high school, but my girlfriend, who is now my wife, gave me a Bible, and the school I graduated from gave me a Bible on the same day, May 19th, 1995. I must have been a train wreck. They needed me to have 2 Bibles. Bob's like, I'm starting to get the picture here, okay? And like, this is my Bible, and I love this Bible. I got notes all up in it. I got notes back here with maps. I don't even know why I got notes on maps. That's craziness. There's stuff in here that's highlighted, underlined. Like, get you a Bible that you can mark up in. And lastly, don't just get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. Like, in my Bible, I don't maybe know where the reference is. I don't know where it is in the Bible lots of times. I just know that in my graduation Bible, it's on the left page on the bottom side. Like, I just know that about it, right? And like, so let the Word get into you. Let a love affair with God's Word start. And don't just get into it. Let it get into you. The Bible calls itself, describes itself as a mirror, and it reflects back to you some things. And so have this as a part of your daily assimilation. Lastly, by exploring God's Word. That's what I love about our connect groups. You can assimilate a truth by exploring it. Just going on a journey with some friends. People who don't have to know everything there is, but you just say, hey man, have you noticed this? Did you notice that? People that you can talk through that with. It's just an incredible, and it's an incredible way. Watch this in Psalm chapter 119. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want you to notice the connection here. When the word comes in, sin goes out. When the word comes in, the things you've been struggling with, they go out. They can't stay. They're inseparable. They can't live together. They can't be coexisting in the same place. When the word comes in, it begins to drive those things out of your world and out of your life. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And the last one, the last point I want you to see is to let this thing be something you build your life on, begin to apply its principles. Just do what James says. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Like, apply it in your life. Apply it. Why don't you put your notes away and give me the next 3 minutes of your time. If you listen fast enough, I'll finish early. All right? So listen as fast as you can. And I'm going to talk to you about how to apply these things into your world more next week, because one of the greatest difficulties, I think, in people's life is they just say, I just don't understand it. I read it and I don't understand. And so next week, we're going to talk to you about how to understand the word on your own. Begin to be a self-feeder on God's word. But to be not just a hearer, but to be a doer, to me means a lot of things. But one of the things it means to me is we have lots of families here, lots of families represented in our church. And one of the things that I would like to encourage all of you to do, because when we go through our prayer journey, we get prayer requests, and it gets me a window and an insight into what's going on in our church. It gives me a window into what people are dealing with at a level that I never knew could happen. And we have so many families represented. And often I send my family a text message. Sometimes it's inspirational. Sometimes it's just a thought for that day. It actually started for a very selfish reason. I would tell my kids things and they would say, you didn't tell me that. And so I started sending a group text so that I would have physical evidence that I actually said what I said, right? And I started thinking, well, why not send something that's helpful and life-giving? And I want you to like start applying this today and make it a point to speak life-giving words over your spouse if you're married. Over yourself, for sure, because we have all this self-talk that goes on where you're battling inside of your mind over issues of self-worth and dignity, dealing with shame and so on and so forth. And we talk well of others, but when it comes to internally, we think poorly of ourselves. And we need to just kind of get the word into our own heart and say the word over our own life. Say it over our families. Like, it's a way to apply its principles to us is by speaking. The meditation part means to mutter, to say over and over. And today I'm going to read from this old Bible. It needs rebound. But I'm gonna read from it. Something I sent my family today, just as an example of how to apply its principles. I read from Proverbs chapter 4, because that's my reading today. Today's the 4th. And when I read in the book of Proverbs, whatever I read, I just ask God to do this. God, just show me one thing today. Just help me to see one thing that I'm not living, or that will encourage me, or that will, just show me one thing. I'm a simple guy. I can't handle like a whole truckload of stuff. I can just handle like one thought at a time. Anybody with me on that? Like one thought at a time. It's like a real simple guy. And I was reading through, and I got to Proverbs chapter 4, as I said, and I got to verse 20. And here's what verse 20 through 23 says. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and they are health or medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In my household, and maybe in your household too, but in our community, there are certain themes that kind of rise to the top of our focus, kind of become the center of our attention. And maybe when the tragedy in Florida that occurred, maybe that trapped your heart in fear. Maybe it arrested your mind. Maybe it's something financial in your home. Maybe it's something relational with a loved one that's just gotten you so locked onto that is bigger than anything else in your world. But and what I want you to understand is when we take God's word and begin to apply it, let faith arise in our heart. Let that aha moment happen. Meditate, speak over and over. Chew it up. It causes God to be the thing and the one that's the largest in our life. And all those other things begin to fade away. So when you do this, just start. Can I beg you? Just to start or to restart. If you're doing it already, then let this be the moment that says, yeah, man, I'm on the right path. This is awesome. I'm enjoying this journey. But for me, the punctuation would be to just begin to speak these things over your family. Let me just say one last thing about it. I believe strongly in the power of speaking that revealed word to you. My wife, when she was pregnant with the twins, I don't know if it was every night, but it was a lot of nights. We were 20 or 21 years old when we found out that we were having twins. That's crazy, y'all. And I thought, God, I'm in over my head. I don't know what to do here. And every night, here's what I would do. I would put my hands on my wife's belly. Can I just say this? If you don't know the pregnant lady, don't touch her belly. It's weird. Okay, sorry. I had to. I put my hands on my wife's belly, and I would speak life-giving words over our kids. I believe that life begins at conception, and I would say things like, our kids are easy to get along with. They've got a good temperament. They listen. And they obey the first time they're asked with a happy heart. Like, I just started thinking big, y'all. I just like started thinking everything I could that would make an awesome kid. And I started saying that. And what it did for me was, I'm not talking about some kind of magical incantation, but it got my mind to the truth of, no matter how my kids behave, the Bible says they are a blessing from the Lord. They are a heritage from God. And I was reminding myself that these children are not a burden. They are a blessing. They are an incredible gift to me, that there are people all over this blue marble planet that are struggling, unable to have kids of their own, and God has given us kids. And God, just give me the wisdom, give us the grace, give us the strength, give us the capacity. And we just begin to apply this in that situation in our life. See, here's the point that I'm making. Find God's word to cover your situation that you're going through and begin to say those words and focus on that word in your life, and you watch God come in with his living, active, transformational power and change your life. I believe if you give these next few weeks and months to God spiritually, it'd be the greatest months of your life. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Very quickly, and I'm going to ask you to respond if you're watching online as well or listening to this message and the audio. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that he was the word that became flesh and he lived here with us to take on our burdens, to know our suffering, to know our struggle. He took your pain, he took my pain, he took your sin, he took my sin. Every single person in this room, you've sinned and fallen short of God's best. I know this because I'm probably the leader of the pack in missing the mark. God's promise is this: if we would come to him, confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us, to wash us, to make us clean from all those things that contaminated us. And so here's what I'm asking. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it would be my honor to lead you and introduce you to him. You say, I know what it means to follow him, but I haven't been following him like I should. And I don't mean you messed up this week. I mean, you made a decision at some point that he wasn't the center of your life. And you know today there's something going on in your heart. This word is speaking to you. This active, life-giving, transformational power that's working on you from God's word is drawing you to him. That's not a man. That's not a persuasive speech. That's God's presence bringing you near. If you say, Josh, I don't have a relationship with him, I know what it means to have one, and I've walked away and I need to come back, I'm not going to ask you to get up out of your seat. I'm not going to invite you down front, but just simply right where you're seated, if you say, Josh, that's me, I need to make a change, and I want to make him first in my life right now, if you would, all over in this place, if that's you say, I need to make a decision to put him first, would you just throw up a hand right where you're seated? Thank you, buddy, I see you. Thank you, ma'am, I see you. Thank you, young man. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, buddy, I see you guys. I see you in the back. Thank you very much. Anybody else say, yep, that's me. This is God at work, and God's doing something incredible in this place. If you want to get in on it, say, yep, that's me. I need to come back. I need to come back. I need to put my trust in him for the very first time, or I need to rededicate my life to him. Anybody else watching online, if you say yes, they'll send you a link, and you'll be able to take some steps. Anybody else, before we pray, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Thanks, man. Good for you. Anybody else want me to pray with you when I'm going to pray this prayer? Supernatural miracle prayer. It's going to change your life forever. Anybody else join these dozen or so that have said yes? Okay, thank you. Good for you. Would you all pray this out loud with me? Pray with those who are praying it for the first time like family would. Repeat after me and say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, now and forever. I turn from my sin, I turn to your son, and I'll follow him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you all help me celebrate and welcome those? Thank you all, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.